Well, welcome. Thank you so much for coming. I'm really honored that you chose to come to my talk here. I'm also really nervous, just so you know. This is like a conference, and so that means it's the big time. Before I came, I was talking to one of my friends about how I was giving a talk and I'm nervous about it. And she, like, for a living, like, coaches people into getting over being nervous for talk. Like, she's a speech pathologist, but she also does speech coaching. And she's like, what I tell my clients is that, like, you're not going to die. Like, it's not death. It's just public speaking. I'm like, well, you don't know. You don't know what it's like. She's like, I do. I public speak. I thought it was fitting that she told me that I'm not going to die from public speaking. Because what I'm talking about today and what I want to share with you is how to live fully our life in Christ. And about how we can live half dead. Like, we can go through our lives as zombies sometimes. And I think, especially in high school, that's an easy thing to do, to go, like, just be carried along with the crowd, to be kind of like a zombie in our faith. And I'm telling you this because I went through it, and I'm going to share a little bit of my story with you. But to the point of that, Jesus doesn't want us to live half dead. He wants us to live fully alive. And the way that we do that is through the Catholic Church. Come on in, if you want to. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking some scripture passages. The passage that this title is named after, fully alive in Christ, or life, the fullness of life with Christ, comes from John 10:10, which says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come," Jesus has come, "that you may have life and have it abundantly." In another place, Jesus says, "The Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might have life through him." And he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I found this one. I circled it a couple years ago, apparently, in my Bible. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." So over and over again in the scriptures, Jesus tells us that we are made to live, right? We're made to be alive. But the devil, right? We see in the garden, in the very first, like, moments of human existence, the devil comes to kill us. He comes to take our joy, to steal, to separate us from God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life with Christ Jesus. So that's kind of what I want to get at, is how to be living fully alive and not having, you know, one foot in the camp of the devil, one foot in the camp of Christ, half dead, half alive. So in thinking about this, I was thinking about who lived abundant lives, who embraces this fully alive life. And I think that today we can look at people like celebrities, or we think, okay, Beyonce, she's, you know, traveling the world, she's singing, she's, you know, living the dream, right? She's living fully alive. Or we look at, you know, Kobe Bryant, you know, he just passed away, but he was an amazing basketball player, amazing father and husband, and just lived a very full life, you know? And yeah, he passed away early, but he was fully alive. And then when I think about the people that I look up to, I'm a nerd Catholic, like, I'm ultra Catholic sometimes, and I think about the saints. And so I wrote down a few of my favorites. St. Damian Molokai. Do y'all know who he is? No? So he was a priest in Belgium, and he was sent on mission in Hawaii. And what he did in Hawaii, for a few years, he had a horse, and he had a tent and a table that he would put on his back. Like, he would fold it up, put it on his back. He would ride his horse across the whole country. It was a country at the time, the whole state of Hawaii, and just saying mass for these different people, until ultimately he was sent to be the chaplain of this leper community. These people who were exiled, there was a big sharp cliff, and they were down at the bottom of the cliff so that no one could get there, no one could get the disease. And he went and he was their chaplain, And he ended up contracting the disease and dying of leprosy alongside them. Just how Christ takes on our sin and dies for us. Like, he takes on our disease and dies alongside of us. St. Damian imitated Christ in that way. Another of my favorite, St. Dominic. He felt called by God to start the order of preachers and to go around begging for food. Like, he gave up everything, like his stability, to go and imitate Christ who traveled around and preached. And St. Dominic did the same thing. St. Teresa of Avila reformed the Carmelites. She was even rejected by her sisters, and she was like, "You guys aren't following the rule. Let's sacrifice more. Let's imitate Christ more." St. Jose Sanchez del Rio, he at 12 years old joined the Cristero army to fight for religious freedom in Mexico. And he was captured and tortured. His feet were cut, and he walked to his grave. And his last words were, "Vivo Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King." And then St. Maximilian Kolbe is another one of my favorites, too. He spent the good portion of his priesthood studying and loving Mary. He even built a city in honor of Our Lady. And then he was captured by the Nazis. And died in Auschwitz. When he was captured, they said, "Who are you?" And when he was going to die, he said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm a Catholic priest." So when I was thinking about all these people that lived abundant lives, I was like, wait, all of them died. So how is it that we can live an abundant life in Christ? And I think it comes when we look at the saints. They were not afraid to die. They were not afraid to follow Christ, to suffer, and to die. So they renounced themselves, they emptied themselves of whatever it was, you know. Being a disciple of Christ, we have to let go of those things that keep us from Jesus and allow him to fill us with himself. And that's what we see the saints do. So what does that look like? Emptying ourselves first and then being kind of open vessels ready to receive the Lord. I think what it comes down to is it comes down to confession and the Eucharist. These two gifts that the Catholic Church has for us, confession and the Eucharist. And I want to share with you a bit of my story and a bit of my journey. So I recently moved to Savannah. I teach religion to middle schoolers, which is really good. They're really difficult. You guys are a really generous audience for just not like bouncing up and down and like calling out and like throwing darts into the ceiling. They like make paper airplanes. Don't get any ideas. Don't do this at school. It's really frustrating for your teachers. But anyway, thank you for not doing that while I'm talking to you. So I grew up in a Catholic family, and I grew up doing things that y'all are doing right now. Like, I was like the youth group kid. I showed up to all the events. I did all the Bible studies. On the one hand, like on the outside, I was doing all that. But on the inside, I was really broken and I was really struggling. And I think that high school is that time when you're figuring out like who you are and you're figuring things out, but you're also alone in that because, I don't know, it's just a bad time. I think it's a time full of joy and excitement, but it's also a time of struggle. And when I was in high school, I struggled a lot, but I struggled alone and I struggled in silence. I struggled a lot with impurity, with loneliness, with bullying, and so on the outside, I looked like, oh, I'm a disciple. I am living the faith. But on the inside, I was just so dead. I was dead inside. I think about when Jesus, you know, he's yelling at the Pharisees and he's like, "You whitewash tombs, you clean the outside, but the inside is full of death and decay." And that's how I lived for maybe 2 years of my life. But the grace of God was with me the whole time, which is like something that's so confusing and mind-blowing, the grace and mercy of God. In that while I was living in sin, I still loved the faith. And I think Jesus was just holding me that whole time. And keeping me close to him. And so I decided after I graduated from high school that I would study theology. I love the faith that much. And so I ended up going to a Catholic university. And I remember this day very distinctly. During this time, I was like depressed. And I was like just tired and exhausted, but I was in math class, and I'm like, I am going to go to confession after math class today. It was math ended at 3:30. It was the only math class I had to take in college. I just remember it was like a Tuesday afternoon. Math ended at 3:30. Confession started at 3:30. So I like ran to the confessional, and I got there, and I was in line, and I was so scared. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever made an honest confession in my life. Like, I've been like withholding sins. I've been just so trapped in shame, right? And that's what the devil does, right? The line here, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. I've seen the thief, the devil, he comes, he steals our joy. He steals our motivation, our reasons for doing things. He kills our soul, right? Sin is death of our soul. And he destroys our image of ourself and our image of God, right? We don't know who we are and we don't know who God is. And that's what the devil does. And so I was in confession, and I told the priest, I'm like, okay, I've been Catholic, but I don't know if I've ever made an honest confession. He's like, okay, let's just make a general confession. We'll act as if you've never made a confession before. When, honestly, I was probably being a little scrupulous. I was being really hard on myself. But I made this confession, and I left, and I was like, okay, today's the first day of the rest of my life. Here we go. But as you know, like if you've ever read the book of Exodus, right, the Israelites, they're freed from slavery in Egypt. Like they're set free. But then they got a lot of work to do, right? And so when we go to confession, we're set free. I was emptied of all that death, that whitewashed tomb. I was emptied, but I was like, okay, now I've got to fill it. And what am I going to fill it with? Because I don't want to fill it with death again. And so I ended up meeting with this sister, this religious sister that was on my campus. And I was like, hey, I don't know how to pray. And she's like, okay, let's work on it. So I would meet with her, and she would give me things to do, kind of like homework assignments. But it was really just like, you should read the gospel, and you should spend time in Eucharistic adoration. And so slowly but surely, I was growing in my relationship with God. I was filling myself with him, and those things that I was holding on to, the shame, the depression, the feeling unworthy of God's love, or feeling alone and hopeless, those things were going away. And so the main things that helped me, and that I want to encourage everybody to do, and I'm glad you're here, but encourage your friends as well, because these are life-changing practices. And the first thing is to spend time with the Word of God, the Gospel, or the Old Testament, just spending time meditating on the stories of Jesus's life, imagining his face, imagining his voice, his smile, his words, because when Jesus did all these things, like when he did these things, you know, thousands of years ago, he wants to do them now, right? He wants to heal us. He wants to save us. He wants to feed us. He wants to just encounter us. And he does that through the scriptures. So that's the first thing I started doing. Every day I had free like 15 minutes between class and mass. There was daily mass. And so if you can, I encourage that. But I know that's not always possible. But there's 15 minutes. And I would go and I would read the gospel for the day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I was very blessed at the school. I had a perpetual adoration. But reading the scripture in front of the Blessed Sacrament, I started to get to know the person of Jesus Christ. And I think that when I was living my faith in high school, when I was living and I was showing up for all the events, it was, okay, I'm a faithful Catholic. I do all the things. I show up. But I didn't know Jesus, right? And if you don't know Jesus, then you're not going to stick with the faith. That's to be honest. Like, if you're not showing up for the person of Jesus and you're showing up to check a box, it's not going to stick, because we're relational beings. We're here on earth to be in communion with each other and to be in communion with God. And that's what the church is, that place of encounter and relationship with Jesus. And we come into relationship with him. We come to know him through his word. So that was the first thing, is that I spent 15 minutes every day with the word of God and the scripture, as well as with the Blessed Sacrament. And then another thing, this one was, Mary tricked me, okay? So I did, I saw that there are these women on campus who were in this group, They, and we didn't have sororities, but they were called like households. And so they were in this group and they all like looked so beautiful and like peaceful all the time. And I'm like, I want to be like them because I'm not like that. Like I'm like loud and like demanding sometimes, I think. And so I admired them. And so I was like, what do they have? And I was talking to them and they were devoted to Mary. And so I inquired, I talked to them and they were like, oh, you got to do this consecration to Mary. Have you guys ever heard of consecration to Mary? No? So what it looks like you've heard of all the things. Not all the things. Yeah. So what consecration to Mary looks like is, so Jesus comes to us through Mary. And so this, we give ourselves back to him through her. And so you can get a book and it's 33 days that you pray and you read, you learn about Mary, you learn about Jesus. And at the 34th day, you give yourself to Mary. And I wear this chain to show I was a slave to sin, but now I'm a slave of Mary, a slave of love, and that I love her and I give myself to her by choice, and I just want to serve her and love her. But anyway, so she tricked me because this book, it started off every day you pray one decade of the rosary, and then after a few days you start praying two decades, and then three, four, and then at the end you're praying a whole rosary every day. And I really think that it was Our Lady herself that taught me this, how to pray, and she taught me Jesus. St. John Paul II says that when we pray the rosary, we're sitting at the feet of Mary learning about her son. She's teaching us about Jesus. So that's the second practice. So the first one would be to pray with scripture and to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I guess that's two. And then the third would be to pray the rosary as often as possible. I would recommend daily. But if you can't do daily, maybe a decade a day. Or maybe try to build up to it. A decade and then two, three, four, five. The rosary. And then, so I'm flustered. I'm sorry. We have a lot of, I'm not numbering well. We've got confession. That's the first one. Scripture, time in front of the Blessed Sacrament and the rosary. And then the last one, is the Eucharist, spending time, receiving the Eucharist, going to Mass every week, making sure, to get there. I think I teach middle schoolers and it breaks my heart that they can't drive. It breaks my heart that sometimes they're dependent on their parents to get to Mass. And their parents don't always take them to Mass. But I think y'all are getting to the age where you can drive and you have that ability to make that decision. Do you want to go to Mass or do you not? And so I encourage you to go to Mass as often as possible because if we want to have a personal relationship with Christ, how better to do that than to receive him? Like, he wants to become food for us. He wants to become as close to us as our very blood. They say you are what you eat, right? When you receive Christ in the Eucharist, you become Christ. So I told you about all those saints. They imitated Christ so much. They loved him. They spent time with him in prayer. And that's how their lives became full and exciting. And they weren't afraid to die because the one that they love so much is the one who died for them. So those are the practices that I learned that honestly helped me to overcome some spiritual depression and spiritual desolation, as well as to fill my life with these things. And I still, I think sometimes... people think, my students ask me, they make fun of me. They'll be like, Miss Alsted, that's my last name. They're like, Miss Alsted, are you going to come to our basketball game? And I'm like, oh, sorry, I can't. And they're like, oh, are you going to be praying? Because I'm the religion teacher. And then I'm like, no, I've got swim practice. I've got other stuff going on. And it's like living life for Christ doesn't mean all you ever do is pray and all you ever do is just spend time in adoration or at youth conferences or at Bible study. But what it means is that you allow Christ to be with you in everything that you do, right? Even when you're playing sports, that you're united to Jesus in that. I was a swimmer in college and I still swim for fun now. But when I was really working hard, swimming and I was feeling sometimes even like I was drowning, I was like, Jesus died by asphyxiation. Like he died, like he drowned on the cross. So I'm really united to him when I'm swimming through the water, right? Which is like kind of a really far stretch. But like in our suffering, in our work, in, you know, glorifying him with our mind, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when we study, no matter what we're studying, we're getting to know Jesus himself. So it's just inviting him to be your friend, inviting him to enter into every aspect of your life is how we are able to live a full life, even if it is doing daily mundane tasks, not necessarily riding a horse across Hawaii to say mass, which I think is really awesome. Like, that's the coolest thing you've ever heard. But it could just be like, I'm gonna do my homework today, but before I do it, I'm gonna invite Christ to be with me in this. Or I'm gonna spend my Saturday at the soup kitchen because I want to see Jesus in these people. There, on that note, there's a song by Audrey Assad. Do you know who that is? She's a Catholic musician, and she sings very beautifully, a lot of beautiful songs. But she has a couple songs about Saint Teresa of Calcutta, and one of the lines is that she's talking about how Saint Teresa couldn't see Jesus, like she couldn't feel Jesus. She felt so far from him, and so it was like she went to serve the poor so that she could find him. And so I think our lives as Catholics is seeking after the Lord, and it's trying to find him in our everyday circumstances. So I would like to, if you guys don't mind, close. Wow, I haven't been talking very long, but I'd like to close, spend a little bit of time in the gospel, leading you through a meditation on one of the scriptures. So what I love to do and what I find is very fruitful in learning who Jesus is and coming into friendship with him is to place myself in the scripture passage, to close my eyes and imagine as if I am the person that Jesus is encountering. So I'd like to read for you from the Gospel of St. Mark about Bartimaeus, who was blind, and he called out to Jesus, and Jesus gave him his sight back. So if you guys want to, we'll begin with prayer, and if you want to close your eyes, and I'll guide you through this, that whatever it is, that brokenness that is keeping you from fullness of life, that in this time of prayer, you can ask Jesus, and you can tell him, you know, what is it? What is it that's holding you back? Where's the death within you that you want to have removed? So, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and be with us this afternoon. Open our hearts and open our minds that we may get to know the Son of God, become man, Jesus Christ, and that we may be open and ready to live our lives fully alive with him. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, rise, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Master, let me receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. Okay, so Jesus is in Jericho. Imagine you are Bartimaeus. You're sitting on the roadside and you're blind. What do you hear? What do you feel? What do you smell? Are the streets are busy? Are they? Do you feel like you're alone? Are there other beggars around you? How long have you been blind? What do you hope to see? What do you want to experience? When you're sitting there, you hear that it's Jesus. What have you heard about Jesus? Who is he? Maybe you've heard that he's a healer. Maybe you've heard that he's a teacher. You've heard that he's kind. He's loving. That he makes time for people. You hear that it's Jesus of Nazareth, and you begin to cry out. You're crying out to Jesus. And you say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Just his name is powerful. Jesus. You recognize he's the king. He's the Son of David. And what do you want but mercy? Have mercy on me. What are the areas in your life that you want Jesus to be merciful to? To be merciful means to give your heart to the miserable, to the misery. Where are some areas in your life that you see misery that you wish Jesus would just enter into, to be with you in that misery? And as you're saying this, many are rebuking you, telling you to be silent. Right? Who might be standing in your way of Jesus? Who is it that's holding you back? Why are they doing that? Bartimaeus, he cried out all the more. Think about, do you have the courage to still cry out even if they silence you? It says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You repeat your prayer to Jesus, right? You repeat your prayer. You're asking for mercy. You're asking for him to just be near you. And Jesus stops and said, "Call him," right? They come and they take you. You're blind. You don't know what's going on. They come and they grab your hand and they say to you, "Take heart, rise. He is calling you." How does that make you feel? You're sitting there, you're hoping, you've heard these things about Jesus. And he says, his disciples say to you, "Take heart." Right? Don't sit in your pain, don't sit in your darkness, but take heart, rise, stand up. Jesus, the Lord is calling you. He wants you near him, just as much as you want him near you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Right? You throw off your shame, you throw off your fear, and you go up to Jesus. You spring up, you run to him because he is your hope. And Jesus says to you, right, listen to the words of Jesus. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Right, now in the silence of your heart, answer him. What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, "Master, let me receive my sight." He says, "Master, allow me to receive." Sometimes the hardest part of the faith is just opening our hands and letting the Lord give us something and being open to receiving it. Just like Katie was talking about last night, not thinking ourselves too unworthy of the gift. He says, "Master, let me receive my sight. I just want to see. I want to see you. I want to see those around me. Master, let me receive my sight." And Jesus says to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." All it takes for Jesus to perform a miracle is faith. It's just to say, "Jesus, I believe." And he tells him, he says, "Go your way." But Bartimaeus, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the way. Right? Jesus gives us the freedom. He says, "Go your way." But Bartimaeus, and I hope we do as well, know that the way to happiness is to follow Jesus. Jesus, we entrust ourselves to you. We entrust our burdens to you. We know that you are the healer, you are the divine physician, you are the miracle worker, and you want to work miracles in our lives to set us free, to fill us with life, with hope, with joy, that we may follow you fearlessly, courageously, with zeal and excitement. Jesus, we entrust everything to you. Be merciful to us, be near us always. and give us the strength to follow you along the way. We entrust our prayers through your blessed mother, and together we'll pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. That's really all I wanted to share with you all. I really appreciate your time and for you guys coming here. Do you have any questions or anything? No? All right, well, I apologize that my talk is cut short. What time are we even supposed to go to? What? 3:40? Oh, Lord have mercy. That was my fear, was that I wouldn't talk long enough. But my other fear was that I would talk too long. Oh, no. I guess all I can encourage you now is that there's the Adoration Chapel downstairs. So if you, you have free time, obviously. You could, I encourage you to go and spend time down there. But also, another thing that helped me in my journey is community and being finding really good Catholic friends to support me. So spend time with each other as well. And if you have any questions that you don't want to say in front of everybody, I'm here for you. And if you wanna talk, anyway, have a good rest of your weekend. You're welcome.